The Milk Bar, sponsored by www.wolvesmobile.co.uk. Saving you money on your mobile, making cash for your club.
Welcome to the Milk Bar. 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 Welcome to the Milk Bar.
Welcome along to the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here for episode 67. How are you, young lady?
Very well. I'm hoping it's going to be rather subdued this week after last week's cage fighting.
Yeah, yes. It was good.
Have you had a look, see how many hits I've had yet on YouTube?
No, I haven't. I don't think you've reached Susan Boyle's level as yet, though.
Haven't had many.
No. But no, there's enough people have seen you to know that you're rubbish at cage fighting.
I wasn't that bad. Have you had any comments? Can you put comments on YouTube?
You can. I have to admit, I haven't looked. I've just left it there for the audience to enjoy.
To enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fingers crossed, not too many people will be able to find it.
Yeah, mixed martial arts. Has anyone from the mixed martial arts has been in touch to try and book you to...
Unfortunately not. Well, fortunately not, should I say.
Yeah, because you don't want to get grappled.
No.
And can I ask, why on earth you're wearing socks and shoes which don't go with your outfit
at all
today?
Oh, here we go. Because I've got cold feet.
So that caused you to wear purple socks and...
Yeah. Yes, because
almost
you see,
purple shoes with beige.
When I'm standing up, you can't see the socks because my trousers cover them.
But the shoes don't
match.
And
when I'm sitting down, my feet are under the desk.
It looks terrible. But fortunately...
And they're comfy shoes, Jason.
This is speech only, so you don't have to suffer that at home. So,
but it's better than black brogues or whatever you've got.
These are safety shoes, these are.
Polishing, I was going to say, they do need a bit of a polish.
Yes, they work
things. A bit of a buff.
Yeah. Right, can we get on with the podcast then?
Go on then.
This week, we have music from The Hold Up. We're having a natter with the one and only Adam Steer, and he's on the phone in a short while's time. We'll have three tunes from them today.
Very good. And I've got Dave Gunning, a local artist who's coming back to Bilston Art Gallery.
Yeah.
Very soon, right the way through to January, so plenty of time to go and see his exhibition.
We'll find out about his work in a short while's time. Also having a chat with Amy Johnson. She's from Promised Dreams, Wolverhampton-based charity, looking after kids and making some of their dreams come true. And we'll be finding out how their fun run went last weekend.
Very worthwhile charity, that one is.
It is.
Yes, if you don't know anything about it, keep listening because it's lovely.
We'll find out more on that in a short while's time. First of all, tonight we have a chat with the Reverend David Wright, the newly installed club chaplain at Wolverhampton Wanderers. David, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Now, we'll talk club chaplaincy in a bit. First of all, though, let's have an advert.
Yeah, the advert is that at St Peter's Church in Wolverhampton, we've got a very poorly organ. It's 150 years old, and it's showing its age. It needs a complete rebuild. So we're having a concert on Saturday night to launch an appeal for funds for that. £300,000 in total would probably be.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a bit in the bank already, but this is really the launch of the fundraising proper.
That's a lot of money, isn't it?
It's a frightening amount.
Yes.
It's a frightening amount. There's a lot of moving parts in church organs, and they wear out and they stop working and they corrode. All sorts happens to them. So, you know, leather perishes, wood warps, and all those bits stop working.
Yeah, there is a lot of leather in a church organ, isn't there? Because all the bits that move the air about and anything that tends to actually be real fibre rather than man-made rubbish.
Yeah, I mean, you can get electronic organ, it's all done through speakers, but a real pipe organ is basically blowing air through pipes, and there are lots of moving bits that decide which pipe the air goes through, how much air goes through, when it opens, when it closes, and, you know, it's a real work of genius in there. But also there's so much that can go wrong, and in our case, a lot of it has gone wrong.
Now, I'm guessing that when the organ first started out, it was probably actually a little more manually driven, rather than, I'm guessing, an electric compressor, which is what powers it these days. So, when was the last big overhaul on it?
The last big overhaul was 1970. And part of the problem is that where all the works are in the organ, up in the organ loft high above the nave of the church, and it's difficult to get at. So one reason it's such a big job is it's all got to come out. But you can't just do it bit by bit. It's not like sort of changing the plugs on a car, just do it from the top. You've got to get the whole workings out. So that's why we're having the concert on Saturday to raise funds for that. And it celebrates, you know, a very important link with the Wolves, because it's a concert of Elgar music, and it's been supported by the club, very, very helpful. The club have been brilliant with us. And it celebrates not only St Peter's Church and the organ, but also the link between Edward Elgar, the club, and Wolverhampton.
Because Elgar was a major football supporter, wasn't he? And he used to cycle from Worcester to come to each home game at Wolves.
Yeah, after one game he heard a report. He used to stay at the rectory, actually, the rectory of Wolverhampton. He stayed with the family.
Mm-hmm.
But he got a report of one game. Billy Malpass scored a goal, and in response to the report that he read, Elgar wrote a little tune called He Banged the Leather for Goal. And so far as we're aware, that's never been sung publicly, but it will be sung on Saturday night at the concert.
So
I've been practising it, and we've got a copy of the actual music manuscript that Elgar wrote from a book that Graham Hughes, a club historian, has lent us, and it's going to be sung on Saturday night. It's short, but it's to the point.
Well, you never know. Maybe we can get you doing that at Molyneux at some point as well.
You never know.
Could be the new chant.
So if people do want to come along, and get, where can they get tickets from?
They can get tickets from the parish office in St Peter's Church, or they can pay on the door. The parish office is open from 10 o'clock till 4 o'clock on weekdays, or they can pay on the door. It's £9 for adults, £7 for concessions, accompanied children are free, and, dare I say it, the kick-off's at 7.30.
Okay, 7:30 St Peter's. Make sure you're there on Saturday, the 25th of September. 2010's well worth getting along to. And just as I thought, the organ that's going to be performing on the night, that's the one that is going to be reworked.
Rebuilt, absolutely. And the chances are, you know, we don't know, but given that Edward Elgar used to stay with the rector of Wolverhampton, that organ's been there since 1860. That was the organ, is the organ, that was there when Elgar visited Wolverhampton. And who knows whether he actually heard it play, sat and played it himself. We don't know, but it's perfectly possible.
If only the organ could talk.
If only it could.
Yeah. Well, it'll be making beautiful noises, and once more, after you've spent £300,000 on it, for at least another 150 years, fingers crossed, it'll be playing tunes to the congregations of Wolverhampton.
I think it'll probably see out you and me.
Yes, definitely. So let's talk a little bit about your club chaplaincy role then there, because this is something you've moved into since you've joined us in Wolverhampton at St Peter's. So tell us a bit about what your day-to-day involvement is with the club.
Well, my day-to-day involvement is actually quite limited. I mean, I'm first and foremost full-time the rector of Wolverhampton, so my church work keeps me busy a lot of the time. But the work at Molyneux, it's somebody's defined chaplaincy as being lurking with a purpose. And it's really just being around at the training ground at Molyneux, just being around in case people want to chat. Mm-hmm. Not trying to convert anybody, preach to anybody. It's just being around in case people want to chat, a listening ear, and a friendly face.
Now, you took over from John Hall Matthews at St Peter's a significant amount of time before he relinquished the reins as club chaplain at Wolves.
Yeah, I mean, John retired probably about 8 years ago from St Peter's Church, but loved the Wolves so much he carried on, and I don't know whether it's that reason or not. He moved into the house, because obviously clergy, sort of the house goes with the job. When we moved into the rectory, all those years after John left, the colours in the hall were still very reminiscent of old gold of Wolves. So, John Hall Matthews, Wolves through and through, but has decided that having been in retirement from ministry for a few years, it was probably time to step down as club chaplain, and the club very kindly asked me if I'd take it on
and
maintain the link with St Peter's Church.
It's an iconic building within the city, so there's two of the main places people come to worship in Wolverhampton.
Yeah, I mean, St Peter's the oldest building in Wolverhampton, and probably Molyneux's the best attended building in Wolverhampton. I mean, we couldn't cope with 28,000. So, you know, the link between the two is a long-standing link, and it's one that we're continuing with this.
And certainly when Molyneux was originally the pleasure grounds in Wolverhampton, you would have seen St Peter's from just nestling behind Molyneux Hotel.
Yeah, I mean, there are very few places in Wolverhampton from which you can't see St Peter's, because it's on the highest point in the city, and it's the highest building, I think. So that's iconic, and obviously Molyneux's iconic as well, so a good link between the two.
Well, it should be a great concert on Saturday night, and do let us know how it goes. I would like to hear that track, so maybe you can sneak me down to a choir rehearsal at some point and have a listen to it as well.
That'd be great. You'd be very, very welcome.
David, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Ciao for now.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Zoe, would you like a tune?
I love a tune, Jason.
Okay, our featured band are The Hold Up. We're talking to Adam from them in a short while's time. This, though, is our first tune from the day. This is called San Diego Bay. You're listening to The Milk Bar. Mm-hmm. hold up San Diego Bay. And joining us now on the phone from the band, Adam Steer. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Now, you're guitarist.
Yep, I am.
And there's four of you all together. Tell us about the lads in the band.
Okay, right. Well, there's myself on lead guitar. There's Rich Oates, who's the lead vocalist. Ben Edwards on drums and Alex Chambers on bass.
Now, you all got together through yourself and Rich being mates to start off with and deciding to make music.
Yeah, well, we've been long-term friends for quite a number of years now, and we've always been into kind of music, studying at college, a bit of production, a bit of this and that, but, you know, we've always been more into the performance side of it.
Mm-hmm. Have you jammed for quite before you created the band then? Because I know
myself and Rich have been jamming on and off with kind of like different bands and different side projects for a couple of years now.
Because I was going to say, as you've only been together since November 2009, you sound very, together, if that makes any sense.
Myself and Rich, we've had quite a lot of side projects like over the years. Rich himself was kind of like a decently established solo artist, and kind of just threw a little bit of a band together, changed a couple of members around until we settled into something that we now call The Holder.
Mm-hmm. And what's been happening gig-wise? Because you had a really good 2009 with a competition at the NEC.
The music convention I've got there called Music Live. It happens every year, really big event, couple of like 20, 30, 50,000 people every year, so really big event. We all went down to that basically just as music fans, and there was a company there called Rock Hopper Studios who basically records in kind of like a converted 1960s touring caravan thing. And they basically says, you look like a band, do you want to come and play with us? We'll basically record you. You'll be going out live to kind of like 10,000 people all over the NEC. Come and give it a go. And I mean, we'd only been together for 2 weeks at this point. We'd had kind of like one band practice. We'd only knew a few songs that we'd been jamming together. So we were like, what we're going to do.
But it all seems to have worked out quite well, though.
Oh, yeah, it did, like, incredibly well. That's kind of what got everything rolling, to be honest. Because before that, I think we'd had one or two band practices before then. We were like, okay, so what are we going to do? We basically threw a quick version of The Beatles' Don't Let Me Down In, because I'm not even sure if we had even any of our own original songs at this point. But we thought, okay, we'll just go and jam in this caravan, see what happens. And competition we later went on to win and got a lot of exposure from that, and then the ball's been rolling ever since.
Well, it certainly seems to be working. Well impressed with what I've heard so far. Right. And if you can perform in a converted caravan, we'll definitely get you down to the Milk Bar to do an acoustic set in a couple of 3 weeks' time.
Yeah, it's a bit of a squash, but it's friendly, isn't it?
Well, we fit four people in. They all seem to know each other fairly well. and Zoe will touch you at some point.
Because the rooms are small, Jason.
This
is it,
yeah. She strokes men's legs. but she gets carried away. But you're all between the ages of, what is it, 18, 22, something like that? So
yeah, that's exactly it, mate.
That's around the right sort of age, isn't it?
Just the age that Zoe, at the grand old age of 37, likes to go and lecture.
Everybody has to have a hobby, Jason.
And hers is stalking young boys in bands. So you up for that one then? Pop down for that?
That would be absolutely superb, mate.
We'll let you play some music as well.
Yes. So when you do stuff, I mean, obviously you've got an electric sound, but do you do many acoustic sets as well?
We've done a couple of acoustic sets all over the place, basically. I mean, it's more of a matter of kind of adapting your sound and transferring it over to the acoustics rather than writing separate material. But quite a lot of our songs, they transfer to acoustic quite well. So that's something we enjoy also.
And are you releasing your work via iTunes or anything like that independently at the moment, or are you waiting?
Back in July we went down to London. Basically, we've been recording with quite an established production company down in central London called The Animal Farm. Our producers down there have been top notch. They're a cracking bunch of blokes. Basically spent a whole week down there producing our EP, and off the back of that, our stuff it's still in the mastering processes at the minute, so the tracks, they're kind of like, not so much demos, but they will have a couple more elements to them that will give them that bit of a kick within the coming weeks.
And how does that fit in with the tracks that we're listening to at the moment? Because we've already heard San Diego Bay. Is that part of that set?
Yeah, that's one of the EPs. Mm-hmm. We're all very keen on that song. But mm-hmm.
Why San Diego Bay? Because you're all from around the Black Country, and so is it just somewhere you'd like to be performing, or was there a good family holiday in there as a kid?
Nah, this is a song that our vocalist Rich wrote. Not too sure where it came from, to be honest. So I think it was more of like kind of writing the music first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of had an upbeat, sunny kind of, you know, summery feel to it.
Mm.
We were kind of thinking, you know, we're all lads from kind of Cannock and Worsley ourselves. You know, we can't really apply the lifestyle of the Black Country within the music that we wrote for this song. So we'll throw some lyrics to it and see what it sounds. And ended up with like a cracking pop song.
Yeah. You wanted somewhere like dreamlike and.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we listen to that song back and think, you know, oh God, take us there. But well, yeah, we all enjoy it.
Next up we're going to hear It's Going to Be Just Fine, and okay. This one's probably a little more laid back, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit chilled, this one. It's one of the first tracks we ever did together. But yeah, you know, we all love this song. We play it at our shows all the time. It's kind of like more laid back than San Diego, but you know, it's a bit of a crowd pleaser.
I bet you can't wait to get your songs that you've recorded, like, released and out for people to,
yeah,
to buy, can you?
It's kind of the next step, really. I mean, we've been gigging pretty much since we were together for a month, and, you know, it's all kind of come step by step, obviously, but it's gone so fast, and, I mean, we've been together for, like, 10 months now, and we're talking about, like, releases and everything like that, so, you know, it's all come on really fast, but we're looking forward to whatever's kind of coming our way at the minute.
Well, yeah. Good luck with it all, and look forward to hearing from you when you do come in and join us.
Sure.
Where are you gigging at the minute? What you got on the way in the near future?
We've just got all of our sets of summer dates out at the minute, and we've been part of the Surface and Sign Festival touring around with that. We got through to the semi-finals of that, so that was a fairly successful run. We did a gig a couple of weeks ago at the Wharf Bar in Warsaw, which went down really well. That was playing with Kane Dingle from Emmerdale. Yeah, we've had a lot of shows. I mean, coming up, I think we've got one in Cannock at the Bank Bar.
Mm-hmm.
That one's still kind of being sorted out with the dates and whatnot.
Mm. And in which case, can you check out your website then to find out more info?
Yeah, I mean, you can hit us up on Facebook. I mean, search for The Hold Up, or it's myspace.com/theholdupuk.
Going back to the Kane Dingle thing, what was he doing there? Does he sing or something?
I think he does a bit of DJ stuff on the side, to be honest.
Does he?
I mean, there was three bands on altogether. We played last, I think we headlined.
Yeah.
And then Kane Dingle was on DJing kind of after the bands and whatnot. So
I didn't realise he did that.
I have no idea what a Kane Dingle is.
it's his character name.
Right, okay. I'm quite pleased I don't know, I think. But it sounds like you had a very nice time. No, brilliant. Well, we'll take a listen to our next tune from you. As I say, that it's going to be just fine. So we'll have a listen to this. And we've got another song on the way before the podcast is out today. But it's good to talk to you. Adam, thanks for joining us. And we'll look forward to seeing you and the rest of the lads down here with us in the Milk Bar in the very near future.
Okay, mate, that's cracking.
Smashing.
Thank you very much.
Okay, top of now. There
Bye.
You go. Here it is then, our next track from The Hold Up.
See you on the wall. See you on.
Fargo. A little more mellow, as we said, than San Diego Bay. That is the hold-up. It's going to be just fine. This is the Milk Bar. And now we go once more to the phones, and we're joined by Amy Johnson from Promised Dreams. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. You?
I am all right, thank you very much. Now, you've had quite a busy weekend, just this one gone, haven't you?
Yeah, we certainly have, yeah.
So, Promised Dreams had a major event taking place, starting from West Park. Tell us a little more about it.
It's our Run for Dreams event. It's a sponsored 5 kilometre run or walk, and it's the biggest fundraiser in the charity calendar for us. So, yeah, a big deal, and this year quite different because we had the whole thing within West Park. Previously we started at the Molyneux and ended at West Park, but all in the park this year. Fantastic atmosphere and yeah, really good day. So
what was the total distance run by your contestants and supporters?
5 kilometres.
And do we know how many people took part then?
Just over 300, about 310 people. So
that's 1500 kilometres, which was run for your charity.
Yeah, indeed.
So that's not a bad total.
I wouldn't fancy doing that on my own, though, Jason.
I'd like to see you try that. You had your cage fighting last week. Running 1,500 kilometres next, it would really do the job, I think. But there we go.
It would kill me, probably.
let's not rule it out yet, then. So what else is going on? Because there's a lot more events for the charity. Because obviously you had Susie Perry down there at the weekend, and she was doing her bit. Any more events with Susie in the near future?
No, possibly not with Susie till maybe next year. Next year's a big year for the charity. It's our 10th anniversary of the charity. So we're planning quite a lot of big events. We're hoping Susie will be able to come to a few of those. But in terms of local events, we've got a fashion show at the Molyneux next Thursday, the 30th. So that's the next one for us.
And I know that you have Nina Blakemore appearing at that one.
We certainly do, yeah, and Matt Murray. So, couple of local celebs pulling the crowd, we hope.
They will be there doing a bit of modelling, strutting their stuff down the catwalk. And because you're working with Sally Mansell, we've also had on the show from her company. And it really is a great event, isn't it? It's nice to be able to get along. You're in the international suite, so food and a lovely evening and some nice clothes to see.
Yeah, definitely. It's £35 ticket, so we're hoping that's, you know, quite reasonable for people, fashion show and food and disco afterwards. What more could you want to see?
Sounds like a great night. And where is the actual fashion collection coming from?
It's from a variety of places. House of Fraser and Wallace, Aristocat, Number 7 Boutique and a new shop in Technol called Grace and Glory. So.
Oh, that should be good. So it's things you can actually pick up locally. And also showing your clothes which are sensibly priced but you can still get a really good look from.
Yeah, definitely. The whole point is, you know, try and make it affordable for people if they see things they actually buy. So.
And I presume if you did see something you liked on the night, you could actually walk away with it, could you? Is that the idea?
No, it's more of like we have all the details there on the night for people, and you know, we make sure the scenes are all broken down so people know exactly where to get what they want, but we don't kind of take orders on the night, no.
Oh, right, okay. Well, you can sort of extend your shopping experience out over the whole night and then the next day when you go and pick it up from the shop.
Yeah, take notes. That's, I think, the moral for that one. So if people do want tickets for that, how do they get hold of them?
Easiest way is to phone the charity, which is Wolverhampton 378 595.
But 01902 378 595. Yeah, have a chat, get in touch, and you can get your tickets booked. And that's not all. There are many more events as we look over the next few months.
Yeah, we've got a golf day. excuse me, in October,
mm-hmm.
at the Works Golf Club, and then we're looking to hopefully have a Halloween event. Also, probably that one will be at the Molyneux again, and then various other bits and bobs going on over Christmas, taking us into the birthday year next year. So
yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I remember first hearing of Promised Dreams 10 years ago, and I mean, the charity's actually gone from strength to strength. Do you know how many kids you've actually helped with bringing their dreams to life?
We're actually heading towards the magical 1,000. We were about 960, so within our 10th year we will be at that magic 1,000, so that's a fantastic figure to
And when you look at the dreams that the kids are asking for, how has it changed over the 10 years? Because I suppose that some of them are very practical, and others are to give the family a break and say thank you for all the hard work they put into looking after the kids in their household.
Yeah, I definitely think, I mean, I've been with the charity 5 years, and I think that the change that I've seen is it's a lot more the practical equipment and things like that, which I think has come from kind of funding cuts in other areas, you know, local councils and things like that. So families are having to look elsewhere to fund things, you know, which are pretty essential to their day-to-day lives. So, mm-hmm.
So changing lives in many ways, and also giving a, maybe a special family holiday, if that's what the family really needs, to really help them gel together and cope with the situation they find themselves in.
Yeah, definitely. We still do, you know, a lot of trips to magical places like Disney and Lapland, still very popular destinations for families, so yeah.
So I remember doing an interview with somebody from your organisation, I don't think it was yourself, quite a few years ago, and he said, it was a chap, and he said that one of the things that somebody had asked for that was like their biggest dream that they wanted was a hamster. And they wanted this hamster in a little cage, and he said, you know, just she didn't want anything else, that's all she wanted was a little hamster, and it, you know, when he took it to her, it just made her day.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's something, it can be something quite small, can't it, that they look forward to, or...
Yeah, I think quite often people, you know, think of these dream granting charities and it's always something, you know, a big dream that's going to cost a lot of money, and that's not always the case. It can quite often be, you know, just something very small that's just going to make a big difference to that one person. So,
well, if you do want to find out more about the work of Promise Dreams, where can you do that?
Our website, which is all the W's, promisedreams.co.uk.
Promisedreams.co.uk. And of course, you can find out about all the events. And once again, the phone number if you want to get along to the fashion show or any of the other events, if you want to have a chat with the girls in the office, 01902 378595. Lovely. Amy, thank you so much for joining us. And have a great time at your fashion show. Will you actually be modelling anything yourself?
No, I'm basically staying away from the catwalk.
But I'm sure helping lots of people with various information about the charity, and maybe even getting involved in the raffle, which is bound to be on the night.
Yeah, definitely. Raffle and an auction. So, yeah, I'll be concentrating on those.
No charity event is right without a raffle and an auction. Yeah. It's completely compulsory. Amy, once again, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure, thanks,
Jason. Speak to you soon. Half an hour.
Bye.
Let's take our final song from our featured band of the night. They are The Hold Up. This is Forget You Ever Knew Me.
Through me, you know I said. That'll be the hold up. Forget you ever knew me.
I wish I could, Jason.
Yeah, didn't you enjoy my air drumming to that as well?
Well, I don't know if it would have come to anything if you'd got a drum kit in front of you, but it looked impressive.
We've been out of time. There we go. I don't enjoy them. Good band.
Very good. I like them. They can't wait to get them in.
That we will do. And you can play with them as is your want. Okay.
Okay.
They've already said you can play with them.
I know. Well, that's it. Permission. Doesn't make it as exciting then, does it?
I don't know. Right. Who's our final guest for this week?
It is Dave Gunning.
Hello, Dave.
Hello. Are you all right?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, fine, thanks. Great.
Good stuff. Now, so you've got an exhibition coming up at Bilston Craft Gallery.
That's right, yes. Oh, well, it's basically a retrospective exhibition of my key pieces for the last 30 years, because I exhibited there back in, I think it was 1981. Mm-hmm. It was my first one-man show because I was born in Bilston. Yeah. And since then, I've done lots of other things, but I really saw it feel great that I've got this show back at Bilston, my hometown. Because I now live in Ironbridge, and so we've got our own gallery and stuff here. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, a privilege, really, to sort of show, you know, all the key pieces, because they've given me the whole museum, which is fabulous, you know.
So what's your favourite mediums to work in, then?
Oh, yeah, I work in several mediums, really. I do big on-site drawings out in the landscape, do on-site oils, and then I also print, so I also do etchings. I do linos and collagraphs, and then what I've been working on a lot the past, say, 5 or 6 years, really, is big steel-etched images. So images onto polished steel plate, which I exhibit as art. And, you know, that seems really kind of, like, absolutely relevant from where I'm from, you know. It's like, steel is from Bilston and the West Midlands and the Black Country.
Getting locally sourced artwork materials might be a bit trickier these days, though.
I must admit, with the recession and with slight steel industries crashing such a lot, I must confess, without offending our Chinese slight friends, some of their steel is rubbish.
Makes it difficult to work with.
Yeah, very difficult. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of porosity, there's a lot of muck in the steel. So to get a good bit of steel these days, I'm fortunate I've got a good steel supplier up in Sedgley, J&M Steels. I've used them for years, you know, so they're really local Black Country people, and they do the best. You know,
it hasn't come to the point, though, you've got to start melting down some of your old stuff too.
Oh, no, no. No.
So what sort of pieces will you have on display? Will it be some of the steelwork?
There's a lot of Black Country pieces about local industry, which represents things like drop forges, milling, drilling, welding, as well as that. There's a lot of individual steel etched pieces about the area that I was born and lived in, which is Ettingshall in Bilston. Unfortunately, the house that I lived in, the terrace house that I lived in for the first 10 years of my life, that's all been demolished. Mm-hmm. But I've tried to I've felt the pull, actually, to go back there and do work. It's kind of like a spiritual thing in a way. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to, really put down into the steel and etch it with nitric acid dilute, 3-1 with water, and put in there a lot of feeling about the area, because I always heavily loved kind of, you know, West Midlands, Black Country and all that.
So you say you're using nitric acid, but how does this actually work then? So I suppose it gives off a lot of fumes as you're doing this too.
Not nitrous fumes, yeah. which a lot of people think are very, very harmful, but if it's controlled, they're not. I've developed, if you like, a way of working that perhaps nobody else has developed. For a start, I have big steel sheets polished, and then I'm actually etching images into the steel, as I say, which is controlled and safe, but the outcome is very good, really.
It sounds very complicated to do. Would a piece take you quite a while from start to finish?
To start off with, years ago, it did take me a time. Mm. But as the years have gone on, I've it's a kind of process that it's difficult to start with, but I've learned to flow with it. So it's really exciting now because I can control it very well. Yeah, which is good.
Sounds different.
It is very, very different. Well worth getting along to the gallery to go and take a look at the pieces that you got on show. Have you got some of your oldest pieces that are going to be visible in this display too?
Yeah, because it's a retrospective, it actually covers the 30-year span. So there's lots of very interesting drawings for people to go and have a look at, and prints of Bilston landscape as it's changed, because I've actually worked up high. So I worked, say, from Sedgley Beacon for years and years, looking out over the Black Country, and recorded the steelwork site as it's changed. And then, as well as that, I've also been, well, I'm kind of nationally recognised for the fact that I've won a lot of commissions to actually draw stone circles and burial chambers from the Bronze Age and the Neolithic. So it probably sounds crazy, but in total contrast to the steelworks, there's a lot of work on there about our ancient site heritage, our ancient sites. To give you an idea, Area Museum Authority for the Southwest of England back in the late 80s commissioned me to look at and draw and paint and print my way through all the ancient sites from Scilly's in the west to Stonehenge in the east. And then the exhibition toured the southwest. It was supposed to tour for 6 months and it toured for 2.5 years. And then it was fantastic because National Museum of Wales commissioned me to do all their monuments. And so it spread. And so the other year I was actually commissioned by Devizes Museum in Wiltshire to go out to South Korea to draw Bronze Age burial chambers they'd found out there. So I was the first European to actually see those and go and draw them, which was quite an experience. But that all feeds me coming back to live here in Ironbridge, and I still keep recording the factories and the West Midland landscape as it carries on.
Yeah, so a lot of what you're actually recording through your art is been pictured in photographs, but it doesn't really bring the same feeling to it, does it? I suppose you put the personality of the people working there too.
Absolutely. To be truthful, I was very touched today because Brendan Flynn from Birmingham Museum and Art Gallery, he's actually opening the show, and he did an introduction for the catalogue and for the introduction panel in the show. And he sent me the draft through today. And he really does express the fact that I'm, one of the very few people that actually does capture the spirit of what it's like to be, a West Midlander, a Black Country person who really does still remember what it's like to go into a factory and the importance of it and the graft, and the struggle, and the way the landscape's changed. And so, totally in there with all that.
And that's what you wanted to portray in the pictures that you've done.
Yeah. Keeping it there for posterity. So when does the show open?
It opens 16th of October, and it's on for 3 months, so it's on for a good spell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, quite a while. And can people buy any of your art pieces there if they wanted to?
Yes, they can. Yes, there's prints, there's lots of drawings. Mm-hmm. This show's strange in the sense that I haven't put any paintings on, but I just wanted it to be prints, drawings, and these big steel etched images.
Well, I suppose with Christmas in the middle of it, people might see something they want to give to somebody for Christmas. Yeah. Let's mention it now.
Lovely idea, wonderful. And there's kind of the centerpiece which I created was off the roof of Warsall Art Gallery, which is a 12-foot long steel etched panorama which spans 180 degrees from Warsall right the way around to Bilston. And, I'm really pleased with that one. That should be, because I haven't really seen that up, actually. I've made it, but I haven't seen it on show yet.
You haven't looked at it, yeah. Sometimes it's totally different, isn't it, when it's in the gallery and it's, exhibited for people to
absolutely.
Look at.
Yeah,
And how do the prices range, then, of your works? Obviously, the prints and things are going to be a little more affordable, but what can we expect to spend? Because Zoe's clearly asking for Christmas presents here.
Yeah, sure. the smallest prints, would you believe, there are 50 small prints about ancient sites throughout our country, which took me, about 20 years to put together, because all the original drawings are done at the site. So it's from Orkney to County Cork, it's down to Brittany, because there's a few in Brittany, all over Great Britain. And then I produced small etchings from them, and then would you believe that the Queen actually accepted the first one of every print, so 50 prints, into the Royal Collection. And they're actually exhibited in the show. They start off a fairly modest price considering the collection that they're in. They're say 65 quid each for the small ones, but medium-sized prints say just under 100. The bigger pieces do go into the thousands now, because the big drawings are say 5 grand each. The bigger steel pieces, you are looking at about £10,000 each. So
Christmas present, that'd be.
Christmas present, yeah. But I have got work in most municipal collections. I've got work in National Museum of Wales. I've got work in Palace of Westminster. I've got work permanently exhibited in the House of Lords. Coutts the Bankers, the Queen's got my work. You know, big investment companies like Coutts the Bankers, Fidelity Investments in America. You know, so I've got a good pedigree, really. So
if you
buy my work, it's good investment. It's going to go up, you know.
Certainly sounds like it, yeah. Excellent.
Hopefully not before you, because most work goes up after the artist has passed away, doesn't it?
We don't
want to see you off too soon.
Fingers crossed it'll be a very long-term investment looking for that one. But Dave Gunning, thank you for joining us. Have you got a website if people want to check out what you've got in the run-up to the exhibition?
Absolutely, yeah. It's gunningarts.co.uk.
So gunningarts.co.uk, pop along there.
Yep.
And you can see the work and also contact details if someone's looking for someone to commission to do something in steel that they want to pop somewhere.
Absolutely, and the other thing we do as well is along this crazy story really is that I started actually making printing machines myself because I wasn't satisfied with the fact that what you could buy out there, I think a lot of the printing stuff's junk. So I actually designed a printing machine. This was about 30 years ago, and then somebody said, "Can I have one?" And now part of my company sells them all over the world, really.
Mm-hmm.
And that's incredible because I don't particularly have to worry about selling my work anymore. I just can do what I want because the machines are always bringing money in.
And that allows you to be a little bit more creative and spend the time you want on a piece as well.
Yeah, and the other thing I forgot to say is Bill's the Craft Gallery are wonderful. I mean, they work so hard to put the show on with me, especially Val Plummer, she's marvellous. And they're putting on a selection of the printing machinery, so there's actually a history of the printing machinery as it developed. So you've got the really horrible ones when the company first started, and then they get prettier.
The more sleek,
you know.
Ones, yeah.
Yeah.
So are you actually going to be down there yourself talking about some of the work too?
Yes, I'm actually doing a workshop starting off next Wednesday. Where are we? At about 3:30, 4 o'clock at the gallery,
mm-hmm.
And then we're actually going off drawing in the landscape. The exhibition also includes, which I think is great, because again, Val Plummer's done a lot of work with grid references, so that you can actually look up where I've worked from, where I've been, where I've worked and gone to, on Google, Google Earth. Everything's kind of like interactive, so that you know you can go out, you can actually find a place where I've drawn from, and go and have a look and see how it's changed.
It
now.
It is now, yeah.
Yeah. So it's all terrific stuff, really.
Mm,
it's
sounds
great.
Very good.
Brilliant. So you'll be down there at Bilston Art and Craft Gallery Wednesday, the 29th of September,
yep.
Prior to the start of the event on the 16th of October.
Yep, that's it. And then the museum's got information about other workshops that we're doing as well.
Okay. Dave, thank you so much for joining us. Lovely to talk to you, and well worth getting along to see your exhibition, I think.
Well, thank you ever so much for having me on the radio.
No problem at all.
That's fine.
Brilliant.
Thank you. Bye.
So you now decided what Michael's getting you for Christmas. It's a £10,000 steel sculpture.
Yes. I wonder if it'd be worth that much weighed in. Probably.
I would have thought it's the toil and the name on there which are going to make up a large amount of the value, but steel isn't cheap.
No, it's not.
It's not, so that will take up a fair chunk of the cost, but there we go. So, lovely to see you as ever this week. We've got to just recap the competition for the final time.
Oh, gosh.
Because this is the last week the competition runs for. So, Zoe, what are the two questions?
Oh, I can't remember that. You put me right on the spot now.
You've read them every other week. Right, shall I do the two questions?
And
you do the email address.
Had.
Right, hopeless she is. Absolutely hopeless. If you want to be in the chance of winning a 4-gig Philips 5 music and video player, you need to let us know. First of all, for episode 45 of the Green Room podcast that belongs to Phil Butler, but which drink is it Phil has never consumed? He's tasted, but never swallowed.
I remember that one now, Jason.
Yeah, you know, now I've told you the question,
yes.
You remember it. Do you know what the question was about our podcast? Leslie Smith looks after which castle? And that was episode 63, I think it was.
I think I might go and have a listen to that, Jason.
You need to check, don't
yes.
you? So, Leslie Smith looks after which castle, and which drink has Phil Butler never consumed? You can find that on the episode 45 of the Green Room podcast. That is Lee Mack episode.
Okay.
So you can find that on there. Mm. Then, if you do have those answers, what do you do?
You're supposed to email the answers
to
either us.
Which is?
The Milk Bar. The Milk Bar.
At
jasonforrest.com.
Yes, there we go. Or you can send it to Phil at thegreenroompodcast.com and we will put you in the draw if you get both the answers right. And we're doing that draw on the 30th of September. So
very exciting. Next week.
So, yeah, after we record our podcast next week. Mm. So we won't find out until the following week who is the lucky winner. Simple as that.
Lovely. Mm-hmm. And I can't enter.
No, you're not allowed.
Even though I can't remember the answers.
You can't even remember the question, no, so well, you haven't got a hope. Well, there we go. So you, now you're utterly hopeless. We'll be back next week for more. And fingers crossed. Should I mention the band? Because last time we mentioned which band was going to be on, they split up.
Yes, but that wasn't very successful.
I won't mention which band it is I have planned for next week, but they're due to be on the phone and have a chat with them. Some great music. Really good band.
Very good, are they?
Yeah, from a group of lads from Wolverhampton.
Okay, why is it always groups of lads, Jason, that you seem to get?
Because women tend, unfortunately, not to perform in as many bands. We did have an all-girl group on the other week. I think you may have been away at the time.
Oh, that's a shame. I'd like to hear from an all-girl group, so if there is somebody out there.
1/6 of Tommy we had on the other week.
Right, okay.
And they are all girls, all three of them.
I wasn't here for that one.
No, it was a Nina week. It was when I was away on holiday.
I want to hear more girl bands.
Okay, we'll see what we can do. You want the new Spice Girls in?
Oh, that would be good.
Or maybe not.
We could discover them, couldn't we?
We could. We'll be back next week for episode 68 of The Milk Bar. Thanks for joining us, and ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from The Milk Bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from The Milk Bar. Yeah.